Good morning. We are so happy you are here with us. This is Old Lion, Young Lion, greatest show on the airwaves. My name is Anthony Stafford, and I'm here with Samuel Hazelton, and we are Old Lion, Young Lion. You might be asking, this greatest show on the airwaves, why do you call it Old Lion, Young Lion? Well, let me tell you. We believe very strongly that the Bible teaches that the righteous are bold as lions. We intend to be bold as lions. Here on our show, we like to discover truth from God's word and declare it boldly. We've been having a great time on this show, just sharing with others as we've watched the show grow. We ask that you participate with the show. We have an email address and a YouTube channel now that we want you to follow along with. And if you have any questions or comments about what you might want to hear on the show or what kind of conversation you might like to listen to on the show, we ask you to email us at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. Now, Sam and I are both pastors of a local church in Schenectady, New York called Electric City Baptist Church. Now, we meet there every Sunday at 10:30 to gather together to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Overall, we want this show to be something that glorifies God and brings many sons to glory. And so we are excited about what's coming up for the show and a few of the things that we've been talking about, but we have a little bit of a tradition that we go through before our show, and that is we pray before we get started. And so I'd like to ask Old Lion here, Sam Hazelton, if you could, can you kick off our show with a word of prayer?
I will. Heavenly Father, we're here today by your grace. Lord, you've opened the doors for us to be able to broadcast on the radio, and we're appreciative of it. Lord, we thank you for every single person listening today. Father, we are covering this beautiful book, the Bible, that you've given to mankind to show us your will, to show us your heart. And we are asking you today to give us the grace to make this book that to us tastes so good. We tasted and have seen that the Lord is good. And I pray that you'd give us the grace to share this good taste with everybody in the listening audience. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we pray a blessing to those that are listening. We don't know what you're walking through or what you've gone through in the last season of your life. But here's what we do know is that Jesus Christ, he has been touched with every temptation and hurt and anything that you've been walking through, he understands. The Bible says that he's closer than even your brother. And I might not know what you're going through, but he does. We hope that this show brings you just one step closer to your walk with God and understanding that Jesus Christ can not only be your Savior, but he can be your God, and he can be someone who gives you purpose and mission. We intend to glorify him on this show and spread his message everywhere that we go. We're going to get into today's content. We've been having a great, great time talking about God's word, but maybe, Old Lion, if you could you give us an idea of where we've been over the last few episodes, a little bit about how we're going to be wrapping up some of the things about the Bible today, and maybe a little insight of where we might be going in the near future. Give us a little insight here.
So we've been doing this series called Haven't You Heard? Revelation from an Eternal God. And we've been talking a lot about where our Bible came from, how it is constructed, how it pieced together through history, how we're able to trust it as being a reliable document from the living God. But today, we're going to get into a little area that might be new to a lot of you. Most of you might out there, maybe your exposure to the Bible might be that you have heard Psalm 23. Maybe your exposure to the Bible is that you've heard John 3:16, seen it painted on some football player's eyelids. You've had some touch with the Ten Commandments. Maybe you've seen those in a courtroom where they were printed up. But your knowledge of what's in this book may be very limited. And so we want to kind of open your eyes today, not only to the rest of the content that's out there in the book, but rather also show you some of this miraculous and marvelous construction of God's masterwork. This Bible is put together in an amazing, amazing way.
What we believe, contrary to what you might hear going out all over the place these days, that you can just be spiritual or that you can just be, I just follow my feelings, or I just follow what Mother Nature shares with me. If you've heard some of this lingo or this language, we want you to know to watch out for that. We believe, and what we teach very clearly, is that not only do we follow a strong Savior, but we stand on a strong book. And there is no Christianity separate from the Word of God. There is no eternal life separate from the Word of God. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and that the Word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, and that the Word of God is established in heaven forever. So if you've been going through some kind of roller coaster or issues in your life, do not rely on the I am a spiritual, whatever way the wind blows through the trees, but rather you can find some footing, some sure footing found in the Word of God. Now, the Bible is a little bit more complex than you might think. A great preacher named Spurgeon said that the Bible is like a pool of water where it is shallow for some babies to play in and it is deep for the deepest divers to swim in. And so we can see some great things that are elementary in the Word of God, like in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And you can see some much deeper concepts in the Word of God, such as symbols and principles and things like that. We're going to break some of that down today. Sam, give us our example that God has revealed to us in the natural scientific world, and then relate some of that to how we see the Bible. Give us an idea of that.
Yeah, so in Psalm 19, God encourages us to look out into the heavens. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And we should be looking at nature and recognizing God's handiwork in it. However, this God who gave us nature has given us also this book, right? This special revelation. So I want to compare it to a human cell.
Okay.
So we all know about, if you went to science class when you were younger.
Which, Sam, by the way, I got out of as many science classes as I could.
Oh,
eventually, okay. I was forced to go to a few. So please proceed. I think if I can remember anything, I'll see if I can remember.
So we know that the human genome, it's called DNA. I think it stands for deoxyribonucleic acid, if I remember from 10th grade.
If you could spell that for us.
But DNA, which is the seed, if you will, of a human being. We have our DNA. Every living creature has DNA that is compressed and compacted. All the information that goes into producing that physical being is packed in and encoded in this DNA.
Right.
And all life has this as its core. It's very interesting. In the Bible, in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, Jesus says this. He tells a parable. He says, now the parable is this. He's explaining it to his disciples. And he says, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God, or the sperm is, sperma is the Greek word for seed. The sperm is the Word of God. And so we have to understand that this book that we're holding in our hands, this Bible, is actually, I like to refer to it as the seed of the universe. Mm. And so this is seed. It is DNA. It is information. It's all compacted. It's very interesting, back in Darwin's time, and we all know Darwin is the father of the theory of evolution that I'm sure you know by now that old lion and young lion here, we do not subscribe to the theory of evolution.
So we stand against.
It's completely false.
Yes.
God created man on the earth in a period of 6 days.
And amen.
So, but setting that aside, back in Darwin's time, you know, they knew that human beings were made up of these cells. And they would say, this cell here, they thought it was like, very simple. They thought it was just like this mushy thing that sort of had some life in it and sort of grew. They didn't know how complex and how involved it was. They looked at it kind of like, you know, you see the cell with its nucleus and then the outer part. They thought it was like a small version of a fried egg. However, as technology and microscopes became more and more sophisticated imaging technology, they understood how complicated the cell was. It went from being this little blob of life. They understood later on that this every cell is as complex as New York City. It's an amazing thing. And so we have to understand that as we're looking at this seed of the Word, you know, we look at a seed and we don't realize how much information is packed in there. when we look at this seed of the word, this Bible that God has given us, we need to realize how marvelously and intricately constructed it is.
I think it's a great way to view it. I think sometimes that folks out there, and if you're listening, maybe you can identify with this, that you kind of think of the Bible as kind of a code book of how to be good at work or how to make your grandma smile or something like that, or maybe something that you do until you're 10 years old, but then the real world kicks in and then we put the Bible aside. You're missing it. The Bible tells us from the Apostle Peter, the man who walked with Jesus Christ, he writes to us to this very day that you have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Your job, your car, your house does not live and abide forever, but the seed of the word of God lives and abides forever. And when flowers fade and when grass fades, the word of God will be established long after any of the world that we've built will ever last. And so if you hear anything from today's show, if you hear anything from today's broadcast, hear that we believe that you ought to build your life upon the very words of God and how amazing the marvelous construction of God's masterful work is. And so I want you to see this as we break down some of the complexity of the seed of the universe, God's word. You need to be inspired to leave after listening to this to dive in and see some of these things. So, Sam, give us maybe a first very interesting, unique, cool aspect that is deeper than just a code book or a rule book for life.
Okay. I'm going to just share a couple of these layers. I like to call them layers.
Layers
the
is
Bible
good.
Is in layers. And so there's the historical layer. So all the stories in the Bible, they're not myths. They are true stories that actually happened, such as David and Goliath, the Battle of Jericho, Daniel in the lion's den, the Exodus, etc. There's a second layer, a moral or ethical layer. And this is the layer that talks about what is good and what is right and what is good behavior, what are good attitudes and bad attitudes, etc. There's a third layer, a doctrinal layer, which teaches us things that you can't find in one verse, but they are truths that are woven through the scriptures, and you put three or four scriptures together, and all of a sudden you understand this truth, this doctrine, such as the Trinity, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation by faith, the new birth, baptism, the resurrection of the dead, etc., etc. So another layer is principles. These are fundamental truths like sowing and reaping, walking by faith, not by sight, the spirit versus the law, faith and works, giving and receiving. These are principles that you can live by, that you can build your life upon. And once you start to get the word of God into you, start to understand these principles, you start to order your life according to these principles, and then your life begins to bear fruit.
And Sam, just to interject a little bit, each one of these categories could be a whole study in themselves.
Oh, for sure.
We could sit here and talk about the biblical principles concerning how to operate in your country, the biblical principles of how you ought to operate when you're at work. A lot of these categories, or as Sam said, layers that are part of this wonderful work called the Bible, we could spend months describing, and you need to know how great and deep this word of God is. So go ahead. I just want to interject there and make sure that people understand how important each one of the layers actually is.
Yeah. And so one story in your Bible can have truths on every one of these layers. And so there's more. There's the prophetic layers. There's three prophetic layers. There's prophetic past. So these are prophecies that were given in the Bible that actually already came true in history. And there are literally thousands of them. There's prophetic present. These are promises that God gives for his people today so that you can walk. And if you believe these promises, you're going to have certain results in your life. There are actually prophetic promises in the Bible that are happening right at this very minute. For example, for 2,000 years, the land of Israel was a desert. It was left alone. The city of Jerusalem was destroyed. There was nothing happening. And God had promised in Zechariah chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, that he was going to reestablish the nation of Israel. Several other places in the Old Testament he prophesied this. And then all of a sudden, 1948, the land of Israel is a country again. And you go over there today, it's one of the greatest countries in the world.
Regathered, just as the word said.
So that's prophetic present, prophetic future. There are so many things that are going to happen according to the Bible. Matthew chapter 24, Revelation chapter 6, Revelation chapter 13. Some of these things are kind of scary about what's coming on the world, but if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, these things that were prophesied in the Bible should not scare you. They should get you excited because it means that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is very near.
I totally agree with that. I think prophecy sometimes gets people a little nervous or afraid about what it says. There's a passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5 that says the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. But then it says, but ye children of the day, he will not overtake as a thief. The prophecy that Jesus is giving there, or that the word of God is giving there, is maybe seems scary on its face, but to those that are followers of him, that just brings their faith to another level. It's a firm foundation rather than a shaky ground.
Good point. So now it gets real interesting. We kind of knew that there was prophecy in the Bible, but now there's a whole bunch of layers here, and I'm going to share a little bit about them briefly. One of them is types.
Okay, yep.
And types are anticipatory models in the Bible, people whose life circumstances and characteristics kind of offer a clear prophetic picture of spiritual realities or spiritual beings and realities. And these are called the antitypes. So let me give you an example.
Okay.
So a lot of the antitypes would be God, the Father, the Spirit, the Son, or mankind, or the church, who is Jesus's mystical bride. So these are the antitypes in Genesis 14, this fellow Melchizedek, who is a type of Christ. Abraham is a type of God the Father. Isaac, a type of God the Son. Abraham's servant as a type of the Holy Spirit. Rebecca, Isaac's wife, as a type of the church. These are some example of types there throughout the Bible. There's many, many of them. Another one is shadows. And shadows are like these backward-leaning, kind of sketchy things. There's light that's being cast from the New Testament, and it's being cast backward onto the Old Testament stories, and it's creating this shadow. And there's some good examples of that. Let me share one. Gideon. We may have heard the story of Gideon. And when Gideon was questioning what God had told him to do, he was trying to make sure it really was God. So he said, God, I'm going to put out a fleece tonight on the ground. And if this is really you calling me to lead the Israel to military victory, I want you to make the fleece completely wet with dew, and I want the rest of the ground all around it to be dry. And then that happened. He wakes up the next morning, he wrings out a whole bowl of water out of this fleece, and he says, wow, I guess God's telling me. But then he wasn't quite sure. So the next night he goes to God, he says, God, I don't mean to be such a doubting Thomas here, but can you just show me one more time? And so tomorrow morning when I wake up, I'll put the fleece out again, and can you make the fleece dry and the rest of the ground wet with dew? And he wakes up the next morning, of course, and God fulfilled his request. Now, this is something that happened. Gideon really had a fleece. This really happened. Gideon was inspired and encouraged by these affirmations that God had given him. However, this is also a prophetic shadow or picture of something that was coming in the future. In this case, the fleece, this small piece of lamb's wool, this fleece represents the nation of Israel. And the ground all around it represents the rest of the world. And this is a prophetic picture of how God is operating in history. He started out by pouring out his dew or his favor upon this little nation of Israel, and the rest of the world around was left dry. And we saw that for thousands of years where God was working through the family of Abraham, through the nation of Israel, to bring his truth, bring the entire Old Testament, to speak to the prophets, to show his workings and his dealings with this one nation, just so he could produce this Messiah, Jesus. But then after that, as we saw when Jesus arrived, he came to his own, and his own people received him not. And so you have Israel rejecting the fulfillment, rejecting the Messiah, and now the whole rest of the world, as a result of Israel's rejection of the Messiah, the rest of the world has been blessed. Paul the Apostle famously said, he came to the Jews and he said, since you have thrust this salvation aside, from now on, we turn to the Gentiles. And so the Church of Jesus Christ has largely, over the last couple of millennia, has largely been a Gentile movement. And so this little prophetic picture of the fleece, dew on the fleece, and then dew on the ground all around it, is a foreshadowing of what was to happen in history.
And this is what we see not just in one text randomly in the Old Testament that we just went and snuck and found out. This is the layered paragraphs and chapters and summaries of what seems to be on every page of your Bible. When we hear Jesus show up and he says, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." When we see that be spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ as he's quoting the book of Deuteronomy, what we understand from that is that just like food, the word of God is not just a simple piece of bread or a simple slice of butter, that he gives us a variety of things to eat up from the word of God, that they fill us up and it's not boring and it's not my broccoli and chicken again. It's a wonderful feast that's laid before you that you can come and dig into for years and years and years and never be filled up. The word of God is this absolute delicacy of grand proportions and as deep as the story of Gideon that inspires us to walk out by faith, but also prophetically predicts some of the things that are coming in the end and the church age altogether. And we need to start looking at passages of scripture in that lens, that is more than just do your best or here's a moral code to live by, but rather it's the DNA of the wonderful work of God that fuels the entire universe. So we saw kind of a shadow or a foreshadowing. What's another interesting, intricate look at a view of scripture, Sam, that people can kind of take away and say, oh, here's a new bite to eat that I haven't seen on the feast that is the word of God before?
Yeah, so there's shadows. We mentioned the fleece there. There's patterns. These are cyclical or repeating sequences of events that kind of prefigure an ultimate eternal fulfillment. I'll give you one example real quick, is the dreams of the Father are fulfilled in the Son. And you see that happening over and over again in Scripture with Abraham and Isaac, with David and Solomon, with Moses and Joshua, finally culminating in our Heavenly Father and His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have symbols. So there are symbols in the Bible. You have the symbol of a serpent in the wilderness being Jesus Christ lifted up on the cross and literally becoming evil, becoming sin, so that you and I could become the righteousness of God. So these symbols that you see in many places through the Bible, even the names in your Bible.
Okay, what are you getting at here?
Even the names mean something.
So you're talking about like Noah and Abraham, Joseph. Yeah. Okay, what are you talking about?
For example, and this is just one, again, of many, many examples in the Bible. So in Hebrew and in Greek, all the names mean something.
Yep.
So Noah means something. It means comfort.
Right.
Or rest.
Right.
All the names of places and people in the Old Testament, in the New, in the Greek as well, they all have an actual meaning. So here's, check this out. This is Genesis chapter 5.
Okay.
And this is giving you the genealogy from Adam to Noah, the first 10 generations.
Now, Sam, most people tell us that the genealogies, here's the boring part of the Bible. Here's the part I want to skip over. Here's where I fast forward in my Audible Bible. So tell me and tell us, the listener, why we should pay attention to the names in the Bible.
So you listen to this, and then you tell me that the genealogies are boring.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, ready? So this is Genesis 5. And so I'm just gonna read off these 10 names that appear in the genealogy in Genesis chapter 5, and then I'm gonna tell you what they mean. And
okay,
you're gonna be blown away. So here's the first 10 generations. There's Adam, his son Seth, his son Enosh. Enosh's son is Kenan. Kenan's son is Mahalalel. Mahalalel's son is Jared. Jared's son is Enoch. Enoch's son is Methuselah. Methuselah's son is Lamech. Lamech's son is Noah. So that's the first 10 generations.
Okay, tell us more.
Now, you say, big deal. Well, this is what their names, if I take the meaning of those 10 names and I just read the meaning of those 10 names, it reads like this. Man is appointed mortal sorrow. The blessed God shall come down teaching. His death shall bring the despairing rest or comfort.
Okay, wait a minute. You're telling me that hidden in the first genealogies that are represented in the very first book of the Bible gives us the whole story of the entire packaged together word of God, which on the end of the entire message inspires hope in mankind? Is this what you're trying to tell us?
It's kind of what I'm trying to tell you.
When we read that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and then it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. When we hear that verse, these are some of the things that this Bible is capable of doing. This is a strong, strong evidence of not only it being a miraculous, power working, absolute wonderful seed from the mouth of God, but that it also shows us that it's something that you need to be into. It's something that you need to read. It's something that you need to get. Now, I'm thinking that there might be one more that you want to share with us. Maybe something, another unique one, another interesting one. What we have a few of them that we think are very interesting and unique. Maybe next week we'll even add a bonus show for this, but give us one more that you think people need to know about. We've kind of looked at the prophecy. We've looked at the shadows. We've looked at the names in scripture. What's kind of one last one that we can look at that shows a unique way to view the Bible?
So these other layers, names we talked about, animals, all the animals mean something. They represent something. The metals, gold, silver, bronze, they all mean something in the scripture. Numbers mean something. The number 3, the number 5, the number 7 means something.
Okay.
I'm going to give you an example. I don't have time to go into all the numbers. We could spend hours and hours, and hours. But the number 40 means something in Scripture. Like, what are you talking about? Well, 40 is the number of testing or judgment.
Okay.
And so we see this number appearing throughout Scripture. There were 40 days and nights of rain for Noah. Judgment on the earth. Jonah's message to the Ninevites was, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown.
Right.
There were 40 days where Goliath the Philistine came out and taunted
right.
the Israelites for 40 days, this time of testing and judgment. The Lord Jesus, when he was baptized in water and then the Holy Spirit came down and descended upon him in bodily form like a dove and remained on him, that same Spirit drove him out into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and to be tested by the devil. So this time of testing. Here's a little capper. The word in the Greek that represents testing in the New Testament actually appears in your New Testament exactly 40 times.
So this is a miraculous thing that indicates a creator that is weaving together all of these cool things about the scripture. Now, we want to be very clear. If you are removing your responsibility to read the elementary truths that are in the Word of God and chasing after all of the deeper things before you get the first building blocks of Christianity down, that is not what Sam or I advocate for. The Bible Amen. Clearly teaches in 2 Timothy that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for something. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and all for righteousness. Then it says that the man of God may be made perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That what the Bible is here for is to build you up into the man or woman that God wants you to be. And if you go chasing after the Hebrew numbers correlated to the Hebrew letters and you don't find out what God has as his perfect will for you by reading through the scripture in its literal historical context, then you're doing yourself a disservice. We wanted to give you an additional look at the diamond that is the Word of God that has these great depths of symbols and prophecy and numbers and names correlating to the DNA that is the seed of the universe. But if you don't open it, and read it and see what the word has to say for you and what God's purpose is for you in your life here and now, you are missing out on the whole thing.
That's right.
Do not throw out all of the great things of the word of God because you think something might be a little boring. We want you to be interested and inclined to hear the word of God because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Now, we're not a show that is trying to coerce you into getting promo codes to buy gold or bed sheets or whatever these shows are trying to get you to buy. We're not selling you any shirts or pants or anything like that. Our show is interested in discovering truth and proclaiming it boldly. We intend to do that today and every day until the day the Lord calls us home. We hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless.
And we'll see you at church.